And bless his heart. Okay. All right. I mentioned Sunday that we would talk a little bit tonight about, what did I say we would talk about? Anybody remember? The rapture. Wow, the rapture. First, I suggested that if you had an opportunity to look in your Bible, did anybody find anything? Is there some paper towels there? They're getting them. Okay. All right. Y'all go ahead. Did anybody find anything in your Bible, the word rapture? Rapture. It's not in the Bible. The word rapture is not in the Bible. So let's, I guess if you don't remember anything else tonight, that's important to remember, that the phrase or the word rapture is not in the Bible. What does that word, not, you don't have to confine yourself to what you think the Bible teaches. The question is, but just in general, what does that word mean to you? When you hear that, what do you think it means to people when they talk about the rapture? All right, we have one said when Jesus comes back again. All right. The second coming of the Lord. Whiffed away to heaven. All right. Anybody else? Is it presented as something of comfort, or is it presented as something of fear? Yeah. All right. It's generally presented as a subject of creates an image of fear, because you will find pictures depicting the rapture that shows cars speeding down the freeway without a driver, planes flying in the sky without a pilot. I guess babies being held in arms without a mama, I guess. And you can imagine on and on and on under the ideas presented by what people depict as the rapture. What do you know what has really, I mean, it's really been popularized. Made popular in the last few years by some books. Left Behind. How many of you people just, have you had anybody talk to you? I've run into people, they're shocked. You mean you haven't read Left Behind? I thought you were a lay minister, they say to me. You haven't read Left Behind? They can't believe that. Have anybody say that to you? They can't believe you're not reading all the Left Behind books?
Well, I did. I said, I put it in my shopping cart on the way out of Walmart, but then I thought better of it and just left it behind.
That's it. Good point. Just left behind. The Tim LaHaye, is that his name, I believe? And Jennings, there's two fellows. It's been several years ago they read. Their royalties, by the way, on Left Behind books have exceeded, this is several few years back, over $20 million, what they've been paid for writing these books. They got a pretty... their background is more in fictional things and so forth, and I think that's their present, too, as we get into this. So the idea of the Left Behind books, why... the point of them is... based on their theory and the rapture as they define it, we'll get into that, is you don't want to be, what? Left behind. It's scare. It's fear. It's based on fear. Yes.
You're right about that, because I have a friend who was talking to me about the rapture, and she was talking about someone that she knew. What was going to happen to her when the rapture? And so forth. I said, you know, therefore it's not the scriptures. She said, it's not. I said, no,
no,
it's not. She says, well, how do you feel about it? I said, well, all I think about is the end of time.
Right. End of time. Now, let me back up a little bit now. The idea of the rapture that is presented in general, and there's all kind of theories of this, but in general, the idea is that there's going to be a secret snatching away of Christians and followed by this 7-year period of tribulation where people get a second chance to be saved. I mean, there's all variations of this. And those that are left behind are the ones that are going to be involved in this 7-year tribulation period. If you read people that study these sort of things, probably these ideas have been spread most by the Scofield Reference Bible, more so there than by anything else. As a matter of fact, if you read, and I've read some of the articles written by college professors and schools of theology, and they talk about you don't find this, and it really started catching on after Scofield sort of included this scheme of and this so-called rapture idea in the notes to the Scofield Reference Bible. Just his notes. It's not his interpretation of things. But the idea is that there's going to be this secret catching away of Christians, leaving others behind, left behind. Okay. All right, that is one of the scriptures that they rely on for that. It's in Matthew chapter 24. And it talks about two being in a bed, one being taken and the other left. And it talks about two working in the field, one taken and the other left. That's in Matthew 24:30. Hold on just a second. 39, 40. And know not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. This is verse 40, Matthew 24. Then two shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. There's similar verses in Luke, I believe it's Luke 17. Where it talks about two sleeping and one taken, the other left. It's very interesting. That is one of the verses that the rapture people refer to. And they refer to that and say, see, this teaches some will be taken, some snatched away, and others will be left. But you know what? If you read those verses, it's right the reverse of what they teach in the so-called rapture. The rapture says the good are taken away and the bad are left. These verses that they rely on right here, if you study them and they give an analogy, it's the bad that are taken away and it's the good that are left. It teaches right the reverse of what the rapture people teach. And this is, by the way, dealing with most people, and I agree with this, this is dealing primarily, this aspect of it was when Rome invaded Jerusalem, and specifically, some were taken, some were left. It talks about fleeing there. This is the judgment that came, and the Roman armies invading Jerusalem and destroying, and all the way up to 70 A.D. And many of the events that are described here are deal with the events at that time. But that's just one of the verses they rely on. It's very interesting that there's two other verses they rely on. One is back in Daniel, chapter 9 of Daniel, where you may recall that we looked at the 70 weeks, 70 weeks of years or 490 years. As you read that, they insert a period of time between Daniel 9:26 and Daniel 9:27 and say that the last 7 years are a time of tribulation after the rapture. After this secret taking away. But if you read Daniel chapter 9, there's nothing there like that. Schofield got that idea from a preacher, Darby, who started the Plymouth Brethren here in the U.S. Darby came from England, I guess, was where he came from here. And in his church, the story, and this is questioned by some, he had a member in his church that had a dream and a vision, and in her vision, she saw this seven-year period, after the so-called church age. But if you study these verses in Daniel 10, you don't find a break there. All of those things in Daniel 9, are consistent with the events that occurred around the time of the death, birth, and death of Jesus, his being offered on the cross. So that break just isn't there. But to be consistent with the rapture theory, they contend that between the events of Daniel 9:26, 9:27, there is this church age that just an indefinite period of time, and then the last 7 years of the 490 years will be finished in the time of the tribulation. The Bible just doesn't teach that. It's just not there. Now, let's look before we get a little closer looking at that. You know, the rapture's built on fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear. You see, the rapture is always presented as not a doctrine of comfort, but as a doctrine of fear. Do what we say you must do to become one of those that will be safe when the rapture comes. Their theology is a works religion, and it's a works salvation, contrary to the grace doctrines that are taught in the Bible. So the reason it's so appealing is, man, you can just scare people to death with the rapture. Better do this, or when the rapture comes, you'll be left behind, and you'll be going through all this period of tribulation and the horrible things that you're going to go through, and it's a fear doctrine. But His word is not a word of fear. It's a word of love and peace and comfort. And you won't find any love and peace and comfort in the doctrine of the rapture that people teach. Yeah, you're getting a little bit ahead of me. Okay, well, there's so many places we can go with this, because there's so many related things that fit in the Battle of Armageddon and you can just go on and on and on. All right, let me tell you one of the key verses they look to. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Now, I love, this is one of my favorite verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Y'all heard me quote it and read it many, many times. Let's read it together. But would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, some had died. Some were concerned about those that had died, and they had died before the Lord had come back again the second time. It says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, those who are asleep means dead, that are in Jesus, God's children. Those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that means precede, come before, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Notice he says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Snatched away. They say that's the rapture. That's the rapture. That's one of the main verses they turn to. What's that sound like to you? Does it sound like the resurrection? The resurrection. But you know one thing that really helps me interpret that? Look at the very last verse of that fourth chapter. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if I told you that verse meant that, you know, at some time we're going to wake, some people are going to wake up one day and they're going to look around and they're going to be people left here on this earth. And they're not going to know what happened to all those missing people and all those cars that have run off the road and the trains that just keep going on the tracks and the ships that just keep going and the empty houses and you know. Nobody knows what happened to them because they say it's a secret thing. It just comes back. And that's not very comforting, is it? If that taught a rapture as man teaches the rapture, I wouldn't find any comfort in that at all. It sure would generate fear in me. It sure would. But this says these verses are not to cause us to be afraid, but these verses are to teach us about things that comfort us. The resurrection. The general resurrection. The final resurrection. But they try splitting it up there and saying that this is the verses. I was trying to find some of my notes, some of their interpretations of that verse, because I have a hard time even telling you what they say about that verse because... See if I had some notes from some of the rapture folks, their interpretation of that verse. And what they said about it. The phrase caught up, they say, is the biblical basis for the concept of rapture. A secret. The people who are left behind have no idea what has happened to others, those that have disappeared. Well, do you think the Lord's second coming? You know, they look over in Matthew 24. It talks about the Lord's second coming. Does it sound like it's going to be a secret? Remember, it says it's like the lightning that flashes in the sky. Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing secret about the resurrection that's taught in the Bible. There's nothing secret about that. Sounds pretty loud to me, doesn't it? I mean, a shout and a trump, the voice of the archangel with a shout. There's nothing secret about that. Nothing secret at all. I mean, he's coming back. That's the second coming. They try to create something before the second coming and scare people with it. Another verse that they turn to is over there in Daniel chapter 12. This may be one of the reasons I got this on my mind is because, you know, we looked at Daniel 12, I guess, last Sunday, where it talks about in Daniel 12, and 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They say, oh, there's that, that's the rapture. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, they try to break it in two. That doesn't say many out of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. It just means many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. I mean, many. They are many. That's not a part. All of those that have died will be raised. And some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They'll be delivered. The children of his people, if you read about that, it talks about them. Thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. I believe that's there in Daniel 12, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. God's children's names are written in the Lamb's book of life. All right, where are you reading?
Daniel 12:1.
All right. There, at the time of... All right, let me flip back there. The great prince withstandeth for the children of that. At that time, Michael shall stand up. Shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. There was a horrible time of trouble at that time. And notice what it says next. Such as never was before that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. All right? How was thy people, the Lord's people, Israel, our spiritual Israel, delivered? How were they delivered? By the death of Christ on the cross. So that's how they were delivered. Eternally delivered. And then he goes on, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So I believe that that time of trouble is when the Roman armies invaded Jerusalem and destroyed everything. Remember Jesus said, and part in Matthew 24, there won't be one stone upon another. All would be destroyed. And it was a horrible time. And in 70 AD, it was all brought to a conclusion. And if you go back and read where we were reading a little earlier, back there in Daniel chapter 9, after 9:26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come, people of the prince that shall come, I think that's the Romans, that prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and to the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many, for 1 week. There's the 1 week. But he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice, the oblation, to cease. You know why? In the midst of the week. I think this is talking about the 7 years, about 3.5 years of the Lord's public ministry, and the 3.5 years following his crucifixion, when the gospel was spread. He shall cause the sacrifice oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I think all that desolation is talking about there is when the Roman armies destroyed Jerusalem. And the Jews, they went through horrible things at that time. And it all culminated in 70 A.D. Yes, all of it was gone. But the Lord, in the middle of that last 7 years of the 490 years, you take the 490 years and it maps out in time till it comes to the time when Christ died on the cross. And that last 7 years of that 490 years predicted there in the vision of Daniel, from a certain time until a certain time, It just fits right in perfectly. So all of those 490 years were concluded around the time of the death of Christ. And all those desolations there were concluded. Same type desolations that are referred to in Matthew 24. And the part of Matthew 24 that talks about the destruction and one being taken or one being destroyed and the other left. So all of that was culminated about 70 A.D. with the destruction of all of the temple in Jerusalem. Wasn't one stone left upon another. Have I got you totally confused now? You know why? We're trying to disprove something that the Bible doesn't teach. That's what gets confusing about it. You know, the simplicity of the message is that there is coming a time when Jesus will come to earth again, and those of His children, just like we read there in 1 Thessalonians 4, last verses of 1 Thessalonians 4, when Jesus comes back again, it'll be with a shout, it'll be with a trump, it'll be with the voice of the archangel, it'll be a known event, and those that have died, the Lord, all will be resurrected. But those that are in Christ, God's children, will meet Him in the air. Those that are alive and remain will not prevent or precede. They won't go before those who are dead, those that are asleep. They'll be caught up, what's it say? Together. We'll all be caught up together. And it says what? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Scriptures say. People take and try to split these things down into various parts to teach different theories. It's just the simple, plain things that are easy to understand. But you know, maybe it's just too simple for folks. Maybe that's the problem with it. Maybe it's all their theories are too complex for me. I tell you, if I can't find it in the Bible, I don't want it. And it's just not there. The rapture, as is taught by men, it's just not the resurrection is there, clearly taught there. A resurrection and a general judgment. The Lord said, you know, the sheep and the goats, one on the right, one on the left, a separation. All of that, I think, will occur. We're not going to line up and be judged for what we've done here. If we did, there wouldn't be anybody in heaven because we all have sinned. We're judged by the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed to us. So when the Lord comes back again, all of His children of all ages that have been born of the Spirit of God, that may or may not have belonged to the church, that may or may not have heard the gospel preached, that may have heard the gospel preached and heard the truth, and their minds didn't accept it. In their hearts, they're right because they've been born of God's Spirit, but they just couldn't bring themselves to accept the truth of the gospel. I believe there's a lot of the Lord's children like that. We can have pride. We can misunderstand things. But the Lord's children, all of them, be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll ever be with the Lord. You know, over in 1 Corinthians 15, we read the same things. Boy, you want to read about the resurrection. Read about the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, it goes on and on. But look at verse 51 in particular. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. The 54th verse tells us death is swallowed up in victory. Where is that victory? The 57th verse, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The 22nd verse of that chapter says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. and Adam all died. Who were the all that died in Adam? All that Adam represented. Who did he represent? All humanity. All humanity were in Adam. Even as in Adam all die, even so in Christ, all that Christ represented shall be made alive. All his children will be made alive. The next verse, 23rd, says, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." The bottom line is, Jesus is coming back again. There will be a resurrection of these bodies. There will be a separation of the elect, the born again, from those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And we'll meet the Lord in the air, and we'll ever be with the Lord, the Lord's children. It's going to happen one time. There's not going to be two or three resurrections. There's not going to be a rapture and a time of tribulation. The Scriptures, it all culminates all at one time. It just is not taught there. So when people try to scare you with these theories of the rapture, just go back and read the verses that they rely on to teach it. And what it teaches is end time, when Jesus comes back again. When he comes back again. Maybe I brought up a subject that y'all never had even thought of. the rapture. Brother Tim was asking me some questions. I says, I don't know about this night. I says, I may be teaching people about error that they're not caught up in. But, you know, it's the world, it's appealing. I don't know. It's fear, and people are afraid that they may do the wrong thing, and they may be one of those left behind, you know. And people that don't know the doctrines of grace are more susceptible to that kind of doctrine. If you're caught up in works religion, then you're more susceptible that, oh, I want to know what I need to do so I won't be left behind. The point is, there's a law that say, what, no child left behind. I like that. That'd make a good subject for a sermon. That's a statute. That's exactly right. No child will be left behind. No child of God will be left behind on this earth. They'll all be with it. And so I don't know a lot about the no child left behind law, but I know a lot about the no child left behind doctrine that's taught in the Bible. No, none of God's children are going to be left behind. Somebody had a question? Darby. Mm-hmm. McDonald was a member of his church that had this dream. Uh-huh.
And so I was talking with a close friend, and she very much believed in the rapture. And she said I mentioned that dream. She was shocked. She said, well, we don't believe in following just some any woman's dream. You know, and so she looked into it. I don't know what came of it, but, you know, just...
Yeah. Right. But Bible scholars, if you go on the internet and start studying this, the Bible scholars and people that have been saved will tell you that this goes back. Now, they can go back. Somebody has found a sermon back in about 300 A.D. where something like this was being taught. Well, there was somebody, they go back and find somebody that taught something similar to this. That doesn't make it the truth. Let's go back to the Bible. That's the thing. You know, I love history and all. And that's great. But let's go back to the source. Let's go back to the Bible. But the scholars will teach you that these, when this all came out, and you can study it on the internet, all kind of articles on it, it was soundly rejected by the predominant, even organized religion of the day. But when the Scofield Bible then picked it up, they condemned that. Then somebody, I forget it, what theological seminary, got involved in it and bought into it, and then it just sort of spread. Isn't it funny how something novel will catch on? I mean, something novel. And here was a novel theory people hadn't heard before. Here's a novel teaching, something new and different. And people get caught up in things that are new and different sometimes. Is it by? Is it from the Word, or is it from somewhere else? Yeah, some of them say the so-called thousand-year reign, that the tribulation will be pre-trib. It'll be before the thousand-year reign. Some of them say it'll be after the thousand-year reign. They put it other places. And then most primitive Baptists are what we call amillennialists, don't believe in the literal thousand years. But the reign is the church age, and after the new birth, we're a part of that, and we're living in that. Not a literal thousand years, but I like some of the preachers say they're pan-millennialists. They said they don't understand all of that, but they know it'll all pan out just right. So, so that's where I am on that issue. And there are some primitive Baptists that believe in some kind of thousand-year reign. So, well, it's quitting time, so... I don't want to do again like I did Sunday, and I almost goofed up after I did it. I said, Daddy was questioning his child one day, wanting to be sure they'd been paying attention in church. And he asked them several questions, and they answered, yeah. Did you say, what, the preacher? Yeah, yeah. All right, what's it mean when the preacher lays his watch on the stand? And the little girl said, nothing. And so so we'll stop there. All right. Anything else before we dismiss? Brother Jimmy.
A lot of people don't realize those that are going to be caught up in the resurrection from the dead, there's going to be a whole lot more of these.
That's right.
Than they are of us that's living.
Right. Exactly right.
Great.
Greater, go to the scriptures, greater than the sands by the seashore or the stars in the sky. Which the further they look, the more they see. Just innumerable hosts of stars and territory, extra. Boy, I'm really having a hard time with my words tonight. Whatever, extraterrestrial bodies and, you know, those shiny things up there. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, let's stand, and we'll be dismissed with prayer. I ask Brother Tim to dismiss us with prayer, please.